Father, we thank you for your presence in this place that was evident by the awesome worship, Lord. We thank you for gracing this wonderful service. We thank you that you have a personal and a customized word for each one of us here because you are a personal God. We thank you that the entrance of your word gives light, and for in you there is the fountain of life, and in your light we shall see light. We break every religiosity and over-familiarity with you, Lord. We ask for that tenderness and that posturing of our hearts to receive a fresh word from heaven to each one of us this morning. We commit the service into your hands. We thank you for what you're gonna do in our midst and in our lives. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. Well, during my school days, one of my favorite classes was the one where the teachers would give out exam tips just before the exams. They would say like this, next week's class is going to be very important. If you missed it, you will regret it. That's the hint that they're going to go through some of those topics that will most likely come out in the upcoming exams. Now, in the exam of life that we're taking, Jesus has also given us some tips or some exam tips on what to focus on, what to develop in us, and the accompanying grace to finish well. It's found in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and I've entitled my message, Two Graces for Finishing Well. It is God's desire that all His children don't just start well, but that we finish well and we finish strong. Amen. Now, did you know that the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that promises a wonderful blessing to those who read it, who hear it, and obey what was written? It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And so I want to encourage you to take some time to read this precious prophetic book and be blessed by it. Now, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we have the seven churches in the seven cities located in the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is the modern-day Turkey. And the Apostle John was a spiritual overseer and ministered to these seven churches until his arrest in Ephesus by the Roman authorities and was then sent to the Greek island of Patmos, where he lived in exile. And it was in this place that he was instructed by God to write a message to the seven churches while writing the book of Revelation. These seven churches were the church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, the church in Pergamos, the church in Thyatira, the church in Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, each church received a different revelation of the Lord and a different message, each pointing to the spiritual state of the church, which oftentimes is also a reflection of our own spiritual state and our walk with the Lord. And the number seven denotes completeness, fullness, and perfection, meaning that the seven churches represent all types of believers, the challenges, deceptions, and theological errors that followers of Christ like you and I may encounter in any historical period, both past and present and until the end of time. So the messages to these seven churches are just as relevant to us today as they were back then in the first century AD. Now, interestingly, when you read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you will notice a similar outline or pattern across the messages to the seven churches. And it goes something like this. It starts with each church being given a specific revelation of the Lord through a description of Christ or one of his titles. For example, he who has eyes like flame of fire, he who has the seven spirits and the seven stars, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And then that is followed by God's assurance to us that he knows all things that you do for him and what you're going through. He will say, like, I know your works, your love, your service, your faith. I have seen your trials, your tribulation, your labor, your patience, and perseverance. And then comes the warning part, which is to repent from our sins. But I have this against you. And then followed by the exhortation to be faithful till the end, despite of the trials and the tribulation and persecution. That is followed by the emphasis to develop our spiritual hearing when Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And then lastly, each Each message always ends with a wonderful promise given to those who overcome. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. What a promise, and for all of eternity. And the word overcome here means it's not just a one-off victory, but it's a continually overcoming that the Lord will help us through again and again. And it is this last 2 points in this pattern that I want to focus on, our spiritual hearing and our overcoming. These two are like the exam tips that Jesus is giving us so that we will prepare well and pass the exam of life with flying colors, and to finish well and receive the promise from him when he comes back. So are you ready? Fasten your seatbelt and let's go. Exam tip number one, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Let me start with the story. A few weeks ago, after an off-site event, some of our pastors went to a nearby coffee shop in the north for brunch, and we parked along the side of the road. But I overshot, and so I ended up further up the road, and I wanted to be near where the rest of the cars were parked. So I reversed my car to be closer to the rest. While reversing, I was also at the same time looking out for a better parking lot. I didn't hear the reverse sensor, and it was getting louder and louder. And before I knew it, there was a loud bang. I hit something, I knew it. But that something was Pastor Samuel's car. That's our Chinese congregation pastor. He was standing on the pavement waiting for me to park my car. He saw with his own eyes his own car being hit by my car right in front of his eyes was wide open, his mouth dropped. He was shocked and he was trying to be gracious at the same time because we know each other, right? I said, "Are you okay?" I came out. He said, "I'm okay, but I'm not sure the car is okay." I felt so bad and I don't know what else to do except to keep saying, "Sorry, I'm sorry." And I tried to make it right with him. You know, he was just so very gracious. Now, I have 2 ears, but obviously that day, both ears were not paying attention to the warning alarm. I didn't take heed. In fact, I was distracted. The reverse sensor was speaking, but I wasn't listening. This time it was just the car. Next time it could be something far worse or more severe. It is same with our lives. God is speaking, but are you listening? Are you listening to his warning, his counsel, his advice in your life? Now, I always wonder why Jesus put there as one of the exam tip, hearing. He who has an ear, let him hear. I want to suggest to you 2 thoughts. The first one is this. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My question to you this morning is this: whose voice have you been hearing? Is that the voice that says you are useless, you are hopeless, or you are a fraud, you are fake, you cannot make it, or you don't belong here? Or is it the voice of the Good Shepherd saying to you, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And whose voice have you allowed into your life to speak to you? Because if you have allowed the wrong voice to speak to you, it will torment you day and night because its goal is to bring you down. I was told that every child in Singapore will go through some form of depression at some point in their lives. And it's probably true. We have the study pressures from school and sometimes from parents. We have friendship issues. Either you have no friends or no one wants to hang out with you and to be your friend. What about being bullied in school that you're so afraid to go to school, but you have to go to school? These are the pressures that will come to our children. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says this, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And that tells us that our thought life is powerful. And that's why the enemy is attacking you, is bombarding your mind with negative words and voices. Because he knows that if he can change your thinking, your wrong thinking will change your behavior, which will eventually change your life. We need to come before the Lord. We need to take every thought captive to obey and to agree with what God says and how he thinks of you. Because God thinks good things about you. He's a good heavenly Father. He wants to give you a future and a hope. That is our God for you. But is it any wonder that mental problems are on the rise in our society nowadays? So we have to be careful who we give our ear to, who we hang around with, who we seek counsel from, because all this will affect and will influence you directly or indirectly. There is obviously an attack on our hearing. Jesus knew this day would come. And that's why I believe he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Not just anybody, but what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And then he adds on, and my sheep hears my voice. If you are his sheep, you can hear his voice. And in his voice carries that spiritual authority to help you shut up all the voices that doesn't belong to him. And you have the victory. Amen. And if you are not his sheep, I've got great news for you. You can be one today by coming to him. And I want to invite you after the service, if you are not God's sheep, come and talk to one of us. We'll be more than happy to minister to you and pray with you. But I want to say that let the voice of the Lord thunder through your situation and crush the works of the enemy over your life this day. Amen. Now, the other thought is this. When you speak, breath comes out from your mouth. This was made evident when my family was in Scotland last December. It was very cold. In fact, it was snowing. And the weather, the temperature was at -2 degrees Celsius. And the fun thing was this, that every time when I spoke, I could see my breath like white smoke coming out from my mouth. It's really, really cool. Same with God. When God speaks, his word is like a creative, powerful force. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible tells us that when God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Adam became a living being. God wants you to hear what he's saying because when he speaks, he's breathing life into you. Amen. When God speaks, he's breathing his life into you. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we have the valley full of dry bones. God told the prophet Ezekiel to do this. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Now, everybody breathe in with me. Take a deep breath with me. And breathe out. That was good, isn't it? Some of you need to hear this word today. God will say to you, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Ezekiel 37, chapter 37 continues with this. There was a rattling noise all across that valley. The bones of each body came together, attached themselves as complete skeletons. Muscles and flesh formed over the bones, and then skin formed to cover the bodies. Then breath came into them, and they all came to life, and they stood up on their feet. It was an exceedingly great army. Is there anything too difficult that God cannot do for you? I pray that the breath of God, like fresh wind from heaven this morning, will blow upon you and refresh you as you sit in his presence and breathe in the word of God that he's speaking to you right now. Now, the exam tip number 2 is this, to him who overcomes. When the Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith, nothing in that sentence gives you the impression that the Christian life is just a stroll in the park. We are to expect tough times ahead. Sure, troubles, trials, and all the different pressures that come with life. That's why having an overcomer mentality is so important. In fact, it is in your spiritual DNA. Let me show you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 tells us this, that for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith in Jesus, the Son of God. So which means that if you're born again, you are born of God. And if you're born of God, you can overcome this world. Embedded within you is the DNA of the kingdom. And that DNA is an overcoming kingdom, key overcoming DNA. Now, I couldn't find a good example to illustrate my point, so this is the closest I could think of. Cats don't have to graduate from meowing school to meow. Dogs don't have to attend barking school to bark. You don't have to attend overcoming school to overcome. It's in your nature. Everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And if you're not overcoming what's ahead of you, perhaps you have not really realized what has been put in you. For some of us, you need to be born again. You ask, what is born again? To be born again is to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And if you want to be born again, I want to invite you after the service, come to the front, talk to us, and we will pray for you and lead you to salvation. Now, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. For what God began in victory will never end in failure. Amen. Now, some of us have the fear of failure or the fear of rejection. For others, it could be the fear of heights or the fear of snakes or spiders. For me, I struggle with public speaking. There's a term for it. It's called glossophobia. Some people are just born to speak. Well, I'm not one of those. August 2020 will never be the same again for me. It was so bad that I've entitled in my journal entry, 2nd August 2020, the worst emceeing disaster. And this was the first sentence in my journal entry, the day Kevin Cole died. I've prepared and rehearsed the announcement script so many times before that Sunday service, but when I got onto the stage, my mind just went blank. Now, how bad was it? Let me tell you. I greeted the people, and then I lost my train of thought. I can't even string two sentences together on this stage with the spotlight all shining on me. Now, August, it happened to be August, so August was the month where we celebrate National Day. Instead of saying Happy National Day, I said Happy National Service. And then to make it worse, the next announcement that followed was this, to announce the upcoming training and equipping classes. And then I forgot what the dates were. Now you may say, oh, Pastor, it's okay, don't be so hard on yourself. I said, you don't understand. I am the head of the training and equipping classes. I should know. I set the dates. There were three services that Sunday. But instead of getting better and improving, it got worse and worse. You know it's bad when well-meaning friends text you after the service, and instead of saying, well done, great job, they say, good try. One pastor friend was very encouraging. He said this, it's okay, everybody goes through that sometimes. Happened to me all the time. And then he added, anyway, no one will remember what you said. Don't be so hard on yourself. By the way, that was the most liberating statement that I received. It really set me free. I'll tell you another time of that. Now, after that service, after the last service, you just want to hide somewhere and then wait for everybody to be gone. And then you go have a lunch alone by yourself, staring at the food. You just need a very melancholic violin to just complete the whole picture. I thought to myself, I can't even do a simple announcement well. And the young people, the young ones are just doing so well, you know. They're just hitting the ball out of the park. Now, have I thought of giving up? Of course, all the time. My favorite prayer was this, God, just swallow me up, rapture me, whatever it is, just make me disappear. But what kept me going? God's word, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And you, church family, my wife, my children, my friends, how is that so? Because if I don't overcome and have a breakthrough in this, then I become the lid in your lives. And the same thing for you in your own areas of struggles. If you don't break through and overcome the areas of struggles in your life by the grace of God, you become the lid of the people that cares for you, that loves you, and they cannot break through on their own as well, right? Now, come 30th August, that same month, the end of the last Sunday, I saw my name on the roster. I said, wow, another shot at it. Redemption time, right? This time I came early. I went to the stage before everybody else came. I practiced, I rehearsed. Hey, guess what? I still fumbled and stumbled my way through the three services. I went back to my journal entry. I changed the previous entry as worst emceeing disaster number one. I entered this new latest entry, worst emceeing disaster number two. I flopped not once, but twice that same month. The enemy wants to silence me. Just like the same way the enemy wants to paralyze you and steal your voice. There are people out there with nothing good to say, but they're saying so well and so convincingly. And then you have people like you and I who have been entrusted with precious truth from God's word and conviction, and we're keeping silent. We can't stay silent anymore, my friends, my brothers and sisters. Amen. It's time for us to be the salt and light that Jesus said to effect changes and influence the world. Amen. I have to continue to fight and overcome my fears and my weaknesses. For whoever is born of God overcomes and will continue to overcome the world. So standing here right before you, it is totally by the grace of God. Amen. Let's overcome together. You are clapping for yourself as well. We're all fellow overcomers in the Lord. Now, I have a few thoughts about overcoming. The first one is this. Oppositions and obstacles are there for your promotion. Because to overcome something, you need opposition. The opposition and obstacles are intentionally left in your life for the purpose of helping you get your reward and promotion. Just like when we're in school, to promote to the next grade, we have this opposition or this obstacle called the exams. I like what Bishop Dale Broner says. Friends create comfort, but enemies create movement. David wasn't promoted by a friend. He was promoted by an enemy called Goliath. Whenever God wants to take you to the next level in life, He will schedule an enemy, an obstacle, or an opposition in your path, like Goliath for David. Right before your blessing or promotion, there will be warfare, disappointments, hurts, misunderstandings, and rejections. Because the warfare or what you're going through qualifies you for the promotion that's coming your way. There will even be demonic opposition to hold you back from your destiny. Because you see, here's the thing. What we see as opposition in the form of Goliath, David saw his destiny right before his very own eyes. In other words, if you want to find out what your destiny is, take a look at what's opposing you right now. Because when you overcome that, your destiny is just one step. You're just one step closer to your destiny. And then when you keep your eyes on the Lord, keep walking with Him, moving forward with Him, He will surely get you there. Amen. Now, number two, overcoming grace, God's overcoming grace. In the face of growing opposition and obstacles, you only have two options, really, to either learn to overcome or be overcome by these obstacles and opposition. But at the same time, you have to realize this, that God never commands us to do something that is impossible. Whenever God says, do not be afraid, in those words, do not be afraid, is the capacity not to be afraid. So our role is to stay humble. Our role is to stay responsive to Him, because whenever He speaks, He will create in me or in you the ability to do what He just commanded us to do. And there is grace to remain in that place of peace and courage as we put our trust in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 is a familiar verse that we often quote, but we probably don't realize the power of its full potential. It says this, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The good news is that God's grace is not dependent on our strengths, our abilities, or our achievements. In fact, the reverse or the opposite is true. His grace shines the brightest in our weaknesses, our failures, and in our struggles. His grace doesn't just help us survive, but He helps us to strive and overcome the struggles and turn them into victories. It is an overcoming grace that is always enough and will never run out. I want to just share with us another wonderful truth about God's grace, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says this, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I checked the word out, manifold. It means multicolored, multifaceted, in different hues of colors. And there's also this interesting word called variegated. I did a quick search and found out that in the world of botany and plants, variegated means having a pattern of different colors or marks on it. For example, variegated leaves with colors of white as well as green. And then on my computer screen, pictures of this thing, this plants called the variegated monstera plants showed up on my screen. I took interest in it, very interesting looking plants. And then out of curiosity, I wanted to find out if these plants are really expensive because they look rather unique. And up came this variegated plant, or this type, whose name I can't pronounce, won't try to pronounce it, but I was surprised at the whopping cost of $23,616.70, including GST. You want the website, I can pass to you after the service. $23,600 plant. One plant, many colors. Same grace of God, manifold colors. In other words, there is a matching color of grace of God for the same color of trial that you're going through. You will never run out of the grace of God over your life. There's no trial in your life that the grace of God cannot match that color. And that's why Peter tells us the manifold grace of God is always enough to power through your trials. Amen. One last thought as I close. Perhaps some of you have tried ways to overcome in your life, but to no avail. I want to suggest one key that will unlock the grace of God in your life, and that key is called surrender. If you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and you read from the Passion Translation, and then you replace the word weakness with surrender, it will read something like this. My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your surrendering. So I will celebrate my surrendering, for when I surrender to the Lord, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. Surrendering is not about being weak. Surrendering is to allow God to take over your situation. You step aside so that now He becomes your strength. In other words, you strengthen yourself by surrendering to the Lord. So I want to encourage you to stop striving and start surrendering. And God's power and His grace to overcome will find its full expression through your yielding to the Lord. And I want to say this to some of you sitting right here or watching online, that some of you are just one surrender away from your victory. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord as I close the service. As the worship team leads us in a chorus, there are some of you have tried many other things except to surrender to the Lord the situation. You want control in your life, but the Lord is saying, surrender to me. I can do it better than you. And for some of us, you are struggling with the areas in your life to overcome. And perhaps for a few of us, you don't understand what is born again. You're not a Christian, not a believer, but you want to be born again. You want to hear God's voice. You want to be Jesus' sheep. Wherever you are, I want to invite you, even as the worship team leads us in the chorus, I want to invite you to come to the front, to the altar, and we're going to pray for you to respond to the Lord and ask the Lord, come before His altar and say, God, I surrender before you. Lord, I need grace, overcoming grace, manifold grace to overcome the areas in my life. If that is you, I want to invite you to come to the front and we will pray for you, even as the worship team leads us in the time of chorus. Shall we all stand to our feet? Amen.